You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jay.
What's going on, world? It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey.
Yeah.
Back again, episode 37. The Metal World Peace, current Lakers uniform number episode. I'm here with my boy Abe Schwadron, and as usual, Abe, what's good?
AKA Abraham Lincoln Bio. Feeling very good. Got my multiple beverages on deck, ready to knock this out.
I know, it's very rare we do this early in the day, so I feel like this is the most energy we're gonna have all day, which is good because we have one of the most energetic people of all time sitting in the room with us, and that is one Dennis Page, founder, publisher, my OG.
And my OG.
Hey, Dennis, was good, man. Thank you.
Good morning, fellas. About time you had me on.
Yeah, just come up a little bit on the mic when you talk.
Sorry about that.
You good. You Gucci. So, Dennis, first of all, how you feeling today?
I'm tired.
I'm tired from what?
Already?
Tired from living. Tired from doing Slam for 23 years, however long it's been.
It's not that long, has it?
No, it's gone fast. It's real fast.
Yeah, but you look good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go.
All right.
What are we doing here today?
I don't know, man. We're kind of just doing this on the fly. We didn't really come with much preparation today. As you said, when you sat down in the chair, you guys must be desperate. Well, you certainly hit that one on the head.
So you couldn't get Carmelo, so you had to settle for me. It's all good.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We're happy to have you.
Anybody got any hot takes real quick from any of the games last night? As long as we got Dennis here. I know we're putting him on the shot clock. Matter of fact, I'm going to start the clock right now for you.
I didn't see the games last night. No, I watched the Knicks played, right?
Yes, they played the Celtics.
Yeah, I saw them. That was a shocker that they won. And I only caught a little. Oh, actually, wait. Houston and
– Yeah, Harden against the Bucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he went off again. They look really good. And then the Golden State OKC game, I didn't really pay attention. I was online buying sneakers.
What'd you cop?
Nothing. Nothing.
So you're window shopping.
How's the resale market treating you these days?
Not too good, man. Prices are high. Income is low.
Same.
That's the general motto.
Exactly. That's the motto at Slam.
I mean, I guess the one big takeaway is like the Zaza Pachulia standing over Russ. Like, where were the Thunder teammates throwing hands with the rest
of them? Yeah, that was one thing I thought was weird is, like, isn't every single other player on the Thunder roster supposed to be just, like, an enforcer for Russell Westbrook? Like,
yeah, basically.
If any player on that team came up and punched Zaza Pachulia in the face and got suspended for 15 games, would it even matter?
No, hell no.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was strange.
Like, I saw Alex Abrines running over, and I was like, I mean, obviously, probably not going to do anything, but, like, one guy who could, like, sacrifice a few games, right?
Yeah, and by that, you mean you saw him running over, paused it, looked at his jersey number, looked up the roster, figured out who he was.
Dude, I'm a professional, man. I know who these guys are.
No, I'm just kidding. I know who that is, too. But I'm just saying, like, this is just a roster full of anonymous dudes who should be, if anybody fucks with Russ, they should just be immediately tackling them to the ground, and that's not what happened, which is strange.
And I feel like Enes Kanter, like, pops a lot of shit and, like, didn't do anything. So, I don't know.
It's okay. Russ says he's going to get him back.
Yeah, but I feel like if Russ is kind of looking at his teammate, side-eyed, like, what's good? Where's Kendrick Perkins when you need him?
So true.
Any other hot takes you got? I got a take.
What's that?
So, the remaking White Man Can't Jump.
What's the real story there?
I mean, we don't really know.
Okay.
Check slamonline.com to find out. But no, so they're allegedly...
There's a lot of confusion about this, by the way.
Yes, exactly. I heard it's a TV show.
See, I didn't even hear
that. I didn't hear that.
That's the latest I heard yesterday.
So,
It cannot be a movie.
Why not?
It just cannot.
A sequel or a remake?
Either. What's the difference?
Why can't it?
Well, a sequel's like a whole different story. A remake is the same story with new guys.
A sequel would be what? Like their sons?
Yeah, basically.
Some Rocky shit or something.
Yeah.
No.
Wait, why are you anti-movie?
I can't see it. It's just sacred ground. It would be like remaking He Got Game.
But they remake everything.
I know they do. Wait, but that's...
They run out of ideas.
I understand. Tell them to do their work. Get to work, do their job. No, really.
In the, 10 years from now, Space Jam 2, He Got Game 2...
That's different.
All these things are going to exist. Don't you think?
What could it be about? Like, what would happen?
I just told you. They would have the exact same story with new people.
Okay.
Yeah, but it'd be the 2017 version.
Yeah, so I don't know.
They're just wearing different gear and they're in a different park.
What would the What would the 2017 version of White Men Can't Jump? What would be like the differences?
I feel like a lot of jokes.
Well, let's cast it.
who would it be?
Yeah, who's going to play all the parts?
Well, I feel like a lot of the jokes that like flew in that movie like 20 years ago or whatever it was would not fly today. Number one.
Well, that's kind of my point, also.
Yeah. Like, they'd have to tame it down big time, especially if someone like Blake Griffin is involved. Like, you can't have it. The NBA is not going to look kindly upon, like, you know, some of the more dirty stuff that happened in that movie.
And number, really important, no one plays on the playground anymore. So where are they going to have it? In a gym? Well, think about it. West 4th, I mean, the playgrounds are empty. Nobody really.
Are they?
Yeah, they're empty. Nobody played. They're on their phone. They're.
Well, I thought Jelly Fam resurrected it, man.
No. He's in the gym.
Yeah, he's in the gym. Yeah.
No, I'm saying they're not. The playground scene is not like what it used to be at that time.
Okay, fair enough.
Also, don't you think it'd be a little harder now to be like nobody is really like a total stranger anymore. You could just walk in off the street and be like, I've never seen this dude. Like people, I feel like now. You see people in the park or on Twitter or whatever, like, no dude that's as good as Woody Harrelson's character is going to walk into a park, have it, because they're like, oh, I played like JUCO, he played JUCO somewhere in Louisiana or whatever it was, that was like the backstory.
You can't be a hustler.
Yeah, like it's harder.
You have your own Instagram.
Exactly.
Or
that's what I mean. Like, yeah.
Any hustler would be like putting his... theatrics and histrionics on Snapchat or whatever.
I mean, certainly nobody under the age of 30 is going to – no self-respecting person under the age of 30 is not going to have their own Snapchat and Instagram and highlight videos and I went to this college, that college. These are my boys. Like, you can't – that's what I'm saying. You can't just like, well, if I move to California, nobody will know me here.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, we're putting a lot of holes in the plot line already.
I think we're going way deep on this one.
Anyways.
I say no.
I say no as
happen.
Well.
It won't happen.
I'm cool with it as long as we forever acknowledge that the original White Man Can't Jump was the greatest movie ever made.
We're all entitled to our opinions.
Top five.
Yeah.
We'll do the basketball movies another podcast.
I will say you're right, though, that like if you're flipping through and it's on TV, it's not getting turned off.
No,
definitely. You think perfectly it stands movie. Up? Yeah. Still stands up.
Hell
right?
Yeah!
Hell yeah!
I mean, it's just
I agree.
It's so quotable too.
Snipes and Harrelson are just so legendary.
Like, and the basketball scenes are good. Yeah. It's not like corny. A lot of basketball movies. I mean, we're getting off into another topic about basketball movies. But
Marcus Johnson just but
hell
can,
yeah.
So can sick. We agree though that Snipes and Harrelson could not play?
I mean, compared to who, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Compared to...
At least they did their own shit.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Okay, but...
Ray Allen?
Compared to Ray Allen and He Got Game. Exactly.
Yeah. Compared to a Hall of Famer.
Okay, you got that one.
They could have found somebody. The acting was... Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I mean, the first, like, 15 minutes of that movie are amazing.
Yeah.
And hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole
shout
thing
out
is,
Rosie Perez, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, perfectly cast.
Yeah.
So that's the best basketball movie ever made?
For me, I've always said that it is.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Hoosiers?
I mean, that's even like, that's a movie that's kind of before our time anyway.
Yeah.
And I still think it's the best.
Everything's before your time.
Very true. I don't know. I mean, He Got Game is just so exactly, good, man. Yeah. I mean, Slam is in it, so.
Yeah, but still, no, that's. I still put Hoosiers out there.
Really?
As one, yeah.
It's a snoozer to me.
Yeah.
See, I like Hoop Dreams, but it's just so long.
You can't. You gotta watch it in like two days.
You can't do documentaries with. Like,
yeah, that's
like
true
films,
too.
So that's separate category.
Good point.
What about like? Was The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh? And was that even the name of the movie?
Yeah, that's.
I've never even seen that.
That's Gabe Kaplan, Cotter, and whatever. I don't believe anybody actually ever saw that movie. They talk a lot of shit about it. They have the movie poster hanging in their room. They bought it somewhere, but I don't. think anyone saw it. I'm not even convinced it came out.
Did you see it?
I did not. And I've seen every basketball movie, documentary ever. And I did not see that.
Like, that's the thing. Like, that movie is, like, so well known.
Right.
But it's literally, even on, like, late night TV, you never come across it.
I may have seen it. I'm pretty sure I haven't. And I talked to Bobbito about it. He claims to have seen it. I think everybody's full of shit on that.
I don't even know that it
came out. Yeah, it gives you that cred, you know, like you own a certain sneaker. But
yeah, of course I've seen the fish shape hit three. You kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, I got five pairs of Air Force Ones.
No. I've seen every doc, you know, known to mankind, but that movie I did not see.
Wait, definitely. Through the Fire isn't your favorite?
Me?
That's documentary.
I was just thinking that when you said documentary category, I was going to have to put that as my number one doc.
I mean, that's the most fire, one of the most fire movies of all time, regardless of genre. No pun intended. That's John Hawk, right?
Yeah.
Yo, we got to get John Hawk up here one day.
Yeah, sure.
That actually would
and
be
a Bassie. Really
cool. And yeah, Bassie, too. And Jay-Z and all those guys. Anyone who was in that movie should come through just to chill for a day.
Absolutely.
All right, well, actually, this was actually a good segue. Speaking of high school basketball and Sebastian Telfair, you know, I mean,
we're kind of always talking about both of those things.
Yeah,
but, all right.
Big fact. I mean, part of the reason we had Dennis in here today was to go over the Hoop Hall Classic, which took place in Springfield over the weekend, brought a lot of the top high school teams in the country. You know, it was really like a who's who of the top prospects. Had Mo Bamba, Billy Preston, Michael Porter, Jontay Porter, Lindell Wigginton, all these guys who are going to be, you know, who are big-time college recruits and are going to be in the NBA within the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Almost all these kids. Well, I'm not going to say almost all. A high percentage of these kids, which is basically the same thing as almost all. But anyway, I mean,
some within what? 15 months?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Dennis, you know, you long said that high school basketball is your favorite form of basketball, so you know, why don't you just tell us a little bit about, you know, the weekend, who was there, who impressed you the most, what was your favorite part about it, what was whack about it?
How about first, what is Hoop Hall, like, for people that don't even know what the hell we're talking about?
I'm not shout out to one of our big partners, Spalding, who actually puts it on, and we do a lot of work with Spalding here at Slam. They're good people, and they've sponsored Hoop Hall. I think it was their first event. Now Hoop Hall is expanded out throughout the country into other more college tournaments than high school. I've been to a lot of high school tournaments, not all of them. I think at this point it's the premier tournament. There's another tournament down in Florida called City of Palms, which is big.
They have like the Bassmasters or whatever it is.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know what that one is. It should
a
be Primetime Shootout down in Trenton that has kind of slid down into a lower tournament in northern Jersey. But there's a bunch. It's not like it used to be. During Christmas, there would be tons and tons of them. And like you said, that's the reason I started Slam. I love high school hoops. It's the last pure part of, well, that's probably not even true anymore. But
wrong, you know, word, but we get your point.
Yeah. No, I love seeing the kids and trying to imagine who's going to be the best pro.
Yeah.
So I've been watching high school since I was probably 12 years old or so.
Yeah.
So Hoop Hall, you know, it's every weekend on Martin Luther King weekend. And, you know, I've seen, you know, cats like Kyrie Irving was up there, Michael K. Gilchrist. You know, Finley Prep's always there, those guys. The list is so long of who's played up there. LeBron did not play up there.
It was before his time, right?
I think it's about eight. Wait a minute. Maybe 10 years in now.
Yeah, he's...
So, yes, it is before his time. I saw LeBron down in Trenton twice when he was a junior and senior.
Yeah, he played. They played against Melo.
Yeah, when he was a junior, right? Melo was a senior at... that was Oak Hill.
I had that game. I taped that game. I had it on VHS. I don't know where the hell it is now, but I remember that game had so much hype for high school. That was the first like big high school game I remember.
That's probably not necessarily one of the best games, but that's at the point in time when I saw LeBron for the first time, heard about him when he was a sophomore. Clearly the best high school player I've ever seen.
Mm.
So that was down in prime time. And, you know, he was so much at a higher level than Melo.
Mm.
So that was pretty remarkable. At Hoop Hall, they bring everyone in. Matter Day come. They were not here this year. Stanley Johnson, you know, the list is endless that has come through there. But this weekend was a good weekend. I actually only saw Monday's games. I watched the Saturday game, which was the highlight through my DVR, and that was Bamba against DeAndre Ayton. Yeah. What's Ayton's team? I can't remember the name.
He plays for a team in San Diego, right?
No. He moved. Boy, we sound really knowledgeable here.
No Googles allowed. Just
that,
everyone remember
But, you
that.
Know, it's so player-focused. You really look at the matchups, yeah. And at times you don't even really remember who these teams are. Generally, you have one great player, and then this team sort of comes on the scene. That player leaves, and then that team just disappears. Right. Off into the woodwork somewhere.
I mean, that's true for Michael Porter's team, too.
Exactly.
They weren't even Nathan, like a top 50 team coming into the year, right? Now
yeah,
they're number one.
That's Nathan Hale. They're still undefeated. That was a shocker. They beat Oak Hill. Oak Hill is loaded. They usually have, usually 8 to 10 D1 guys. They're exceptional. Billy Preston, I think, to be kind, had a tough game. Lindell Wigington turned out. He was great. They're all going to big-time programs, but Michael Porter shined. He was, I think, arguably the best player of the weekend that I saw.
Yeah, and he kind of, I don't know if it's true or not, but had a little bit of a reputation for, I guess, not always showing up in the big moment against big-time players. So he certainly proved himself. As you said, he was far and away the best player that you saw there. I mean, do you think this guy is like a can't-miss prospect at this point or what?
I think so. He's kind of slender. He's really good, really composed, good shot, runs well. His game's at a really high level. Compare him to like Wendell Carter, who played against the Patrick School. They had Nick Richards. Wendell's a nice player. He's going to Duke. He's slow. He reminds me a little bit of Elton Brand. He's going to kind of fit that mold at Duke. I think Porter's on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
So just his game is really, really NBA ready. But, you never know. I've seen so many good players that haven't turned out, but I think he's a good one. They're really well coached. Well, Brandon Roy's the coach.
Yeah.
They don't have that much talent, but they're just really, a tight team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to beat Oak Hill, which was a real shock.
Yeah.
And then who else did I see? So, like I said, Patrick School played Pace from
Georgia.
From Georgia, exactly, with Wendell Carter, Nick Richards, who's going to Kentucky.
And they got Jelly Fam Jordan.
Yeah. They're, it's not the best. They used to be St. Patrick's. They're not the best St. Patrick School, whatever you want to call it, team that I've seen. So, but they pulled out. They came back and won that game. And then after the Oak Hill game, it was Montverde against Bishop Montgomery. Montverde won. And, again, this Montverde team, super well coached by Kevin Boyle. But, again, not a lot of talent, not like the Montverde teams have passed.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this kid, R.J. Barrett, who's a sophomore. He had a great,
I heard that kid is the real deal.
He's the real deal. Kind of a little bit awkward. He's only a sophomore.
And he's from Canada, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Not Toronto. But he's a baller. He looked really good. And then the 5 o'clock marquee game was La Lumiere. We were talking before. I don't know. They're from Indiana. I don't even know. Like, is it a French school or something? I have no. They were the number one team. They're super, super big. They have Brian Bowen is a high recruit.
Yeah, he's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, he's real. They have a lot of crazy hair on that team. No, really. For Indiana, that's what shook me the most. They were like a real L.A. Cali team.
Yeah.
Everybody had, interesting hair, so that was dope to watch that. But they're big, man. So I think Bowen maybe 6'9". This guy Jaren Jackson, also 6'9", 6'10". Jordan Poole. So they are loaded up front. I get why they were number one. And they were ahead for most of the game. And then they play Sierra Canyon with Marvin Bagley, Jr.,
probably the best junior in the
country. I think so, He's but they kind of locked him up. He had a tough game. I don't know if he was just not at the top of his game or they were banging him around. He's clearly a player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could see that. But they did a number on him. So, but Sierra came back. They didn't quit, and they ultimately won, beat La Lumiere. So I don't know who number one is now.
Well, I just want to ask something about
that ahead.
In general. Like, that team coming in number one, And I think Michael Porter's team is number one now.
It might be Nathan Hale.
In some rankings.
Exactly.
But what do you think in general, I mean, just having been watched high school basketball forever, seeing all these rankings and the way that they're – like, what is it – is ranking high school teams and having a number one high school team – what do you even see any value in that? Or, like, what is the point of – there's so many high school teams, so many official, unofficial rankings, tournaments, it's, end-of-season tournaments.
I mean, there could be a team that, you know, may not have the means to travel all over the country and play these teams that could be better than all of them, and just nobody knows
about. Like I said before, it's one player can just take any team, probably the three of us and maybe Bassie, you know, and then you have that one elite dude, and you can – one guy can – this sounds crazy – one amazing high school player can beat like any five guys. Mm-hmm. However, you got the Oak Hills, that La Lumiere team. They're loaded. They're really, really big. They look like an NBA team size-wise. A lot of the good teams play these national schedules. So it, in a sense, it's an accurate ranking. You know, one, you know, whoever ends up undefeated at the end, it's usually Oak Hill mm-hmm. or Montford, and it's not going to be Montford. It's not going to be Oak Hill. But again, everybody doesn't play everybody. St. Anthony's is always undefeated, and they're small. Could they actually beat one of, you know, an Oak Hill?
Because they don't play that national schedule.
They don't go out. Yeah. They don't play a national schedule, but you never, you know, go against Hurley. And anyone, he can bring five kids and beat anybody. Mm-hmm. So to Abe's point, is it really an accurate ranking? You know, yes and no, because a lot of the big-time teams play each other. So, but you can catch anybody on any given day. It's the same as any level of basketball.
And then what about kind of more, just even speaking even more generally, what are some of like the more larger scale, wide sweeping sort of changes in terms of the coverage of high school basketball and just the way the game is played, the way players go from team to team or whatever, like that you've seen over the, let's just say from the beginning of the Slam era to now?
Yeah, I mean, there's always been a lot of recruiting, you know, since, you know, I've been doing Slam 23 years, probably following high school longer than that. You know, players move around. It's always about getting the best player. You got the private schools. You know, the first player I ever saw, probably one of the best, is Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, I saw him when I was, like, in sixth grade. You know, he doesn't just end up at that what was then Power Memorial, you know, so they're – you know, you get the players, you bring them in, and it's a, you know, it's a high profile thing. It's a way for high school coaches to jump to college.
Right.
They get hired. You know, Danny Manning's dad was hired at Kansas. He was one of the first guys to do that. So, you know, it's about the business and people making moves and, you know, creating stature. You know, for themselves, for the players. But like, look at St. Mary's. What was LeBron's team?
St. Vincent, St. Mary.
Thank you, St. Vincent. You know, they come out of nowhere. It's on LeBron. They had a very good team. They, you know, the rest of the players were pretty pretty solid. But one guy can elevate any one team.
Yeah. And I'm curious, I guess, more about just sticking local in New York. Like, New York high school basketball, I mean, probably even, you know, 10, 15 years ago was, like, some of the best out in the country.
And, absolutely.
You know, all the guys stayed in the city to play at their, you know, either their local high schools or one of the Catholic schools. And now a lot of the kids from New York go out of state to like a prep school, either in New England or, you know, maybe out west a little. So, you know, why? I don't know if you know why, but like, when did that start to change?
I don't know who the. I was talking to Franklin, our high school editor, about that. I don't know who the first New York kid was to bounce. A lot of it was, hey, they had to get their grades together. Mm-hmm. They couldn't qualify, so they had to go do a post-grad year at a prep school. They were in trouble, had to get out of the city, stop hanging out on the corner. So that's another reason. But it was generally, you know, grades, and that's how it all started. They went off to Oak Hill. Before Oak Hill, there was a school down in North Carolina called Laurinburg Prep. I think that was the first place. That's where Charlie Scott, I know I'm dating all you guys. For those that don't know, Charlie Scott was the first African-American to play at Carolina, right. North Carolina. But you had to go to these schools to qualify, and then you came in. So that's when it started. I think it was in the mid-70s, maybe. So then it became a way to get into a better program, get your game together, whether it's for a junior year, senior year, post-grad year, and just get the hell out of Dodge, man. Mm-hmm. That was like New York. You're just in trouble. You take guys like Lance, got in a lot of trouble at Lincoln. You know, it's probably best to get out and just focus on your grades, do your work. It's also a much, much higher caliber of basketball on the prep school level. So you had the New York scene, which is, like you said, has always been the best, is actually pretty bad now. No, the Catholic League back in the day was probably the best league in America.
Yeah.
You know, and then the PSAL back to boys and Lincoln and all that. It was amazing. Now it's just not there because everybody's going off to a program.
Yeah. So I don't know.
It is what it is. Yeah.
Have to do it, even not even New York. I mean, we were just watching, just because this happened yesterday, we were just watching the Zion Williamson mixtape.
Right.
He's playing against, like, I mean, the highlights were sick, but then it's like if you take a minute and pause the video, it's like he's running the fast break. He's
playing like the slam run.
Yeah.
No, they're playing like some Hebrew school or something.
14-year-olds right? Of the slam run.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was 5'9" white kids, unathletic white kids, like, that he's going. I mean, he needs to go somewhere else for his senior year and play some better competition.
Wait, he's a junior? He's only a junior. So, no, he'll leave probably partly because he wants to leave and someone's going to, you know, recruit him and bring him into an Oak Hill, Montverde, you know, whatever. He's got to play against better competition.
Well, so. Yeah, and also he might not necessarily be needing to play center when he just, like, by process of elimination, that he's the tallest person on the court.
Yeah,
right. You have to develop his
perimeter skills a little bit, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, no. Abe crushing Zion Williamson.
I'm crushing him. He's the most exciting high school basketball player right now. I'm just saying that upon the 17th time that I watched the video, I happened to notice the opponent. That's it.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, another example is Chino Hills.
I was just about to say, bring them up too.
The Ball brothers. So they had the three of them together last year, and Chino Hills ran the table, number one in the country. They beat everybody. They destroyed everybody. But, you know, you have three really, really top players. And Lonzo, you can make a case, was maybe the best player in the country.
Yeah, but they're doing it again this year too.
And they're doing it again without Lonzo. So,
I mean, have you ever
seen another brand of basketball that's like a little hard to watch? But yeah, they keep winning.
But have you ever seen, I guess, anything like the Ball Brothers? Just from
that's the craziest thing ever in my since
not
I've
even
been
not even from a playing standpoint. Just from like
three brothers. I can't even remember two brothers.
Yeah,
you know, you talk about like Steph and Bassie was his cousin, and Jamel Thomas was a cousin. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen even two brothers like on one team killing it. No less three. I mean, it's the most fascinating story.
And I mean,
I can ever remember
the way they've exploded due to, you know, the internet. Really, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Then I mean, I'm sure, what could compare? I mean, I guess the pre-internet era, like Kenny Anderson was huge nationally, but I mean,
no one saw him. I mean, again, the only way you knew about anybody was really in Sports Illustrated. You know, not to go off on a tangent, but I used to buy Street and Smith. And
this whole podcast is a tangent.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
whatever you want to riff on.
No, I'm just waiting for the timer to ring and then I can go back
timer.
To it. Okay.
I shut the timer off because it's going well.
My fascination really started back when I saw Lou Alcindor, and it's just like, who are these high school dudes? So I would buy Street and Smith, their college edition. So it had all the college rankings, previews, all that crap. And then I looked at the high school guys, and I'm like, oh. I remember seeing Spencer Haywood in high school. I mean, the lists are endless of these guys. And most of the good players were in Detroit, D.C., Chicago, New York. L.A. you laughed at. No one ever came out of L.A. Like the great UCLA teams, all those players came from some other foreign land. I mean, there's a few guys from L.A. So, you know, where did these guys come from? And it's just fascinating. So high school's always – but now it's big business. I mean, it's obviously the sneaker companies are there and you know, I just love it. But the best part is now they get into the NBA in 2 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait 4 years like it used to be.
So what do you think of, like, you know, you're saying you say it's big business and, you know, these kids get hyped at such a young age. Like, Do you think it's, I mean, for every LeBron James, you have a guy like Shea Cotton and, you know, what's my man's name? Who was in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, like, that. The kid from California.
Yeah, they, we just had the
Alonzo Trier?
No. We just had the article on him in a recent issue that Sfi did. He went to UNLV. He was
Demetrius Walker.
So SI hyped him up big time. I remember being really pissed.
Well, there's a book about him too.
Yeah. But Slam wasn't on him, and then SI had him. And you know, back to my other tangent was that, you know, that's why I started Slam, to really cover high school cats the same way we cover NBA players.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember the Demetrius story. I'm like, yo, this kid's going to be the next big thing, because SI, pre-Slam, before there was Slam, was the only place you could read about it. Mm-hmm. And they would do high school covers. They pick a high school player maybe once every couple of years. So, yeah, that was – and he was a complete – hey, look, most of them are a bust.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Shea, his story's a little different, a little more tragic. But I've seen many.
Like Lenny Cook.
The list is endless. Chris Washburn.
Yeah.
One of the best high school players I've ever seen, just a complete wipeout.
So, I mean, what were those ABCD camps like back in the day?
The best. That's a whole nother tangent. That's for another podcast.
Go ahead. No, real quick.
All right.
Give us one good story.
ABCD, let's see. That's the early days of Slam. I'm sketchy on my years, 94, 95. Maybe my first one was 95 or 96.
Those were good years, man.
Those are the best. This is the prime
time. Just got out of my diapers.
It was 2003, though.
Good point. Yeah,
exactly. So anyway, that was run by Sonny Vaccaro, who I absolutely love. I think he, you know, was a genius the way he brought the sneaker game into basketball. But anyway, he would run a tournament on behalf of Adidas. So they had the top, I think it was 200 players. Mm-hmm. So my first year got really connected because Stephon Marbury played there, and Steph was in the first issue of Slam. So I was there. I saw Steph. But some of the guys was Tim Thomas. Who was that big dude? Trailer played there. Robert Trailer that went
rest
to Michigan.
In peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. Saw Kobe there as, I think, a junior. Kobe Bryant. I think he was a
never heard of.
Yeah, not as a sophomore. Certainly LeBron was there. Bassey was there.
McGrady.
So two stories stand out. Two. First one was, so I always come in, I think it ran Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday maybe. I can't remember. So I would go, you know, Wednesday, I guess Thursday morning early. I walk in like, all right, who's breaking out? Who's turning out of a kid we've never heard of? Mm-hmm. So I forget what year it was. It was when T-Mac, before his senior year? Yeah. So summer before his senior year.
96 or 7, yes. 97.
Yeah. So just T-Mac. I'm like, who? I never even heard of him. He was at a thing called a school called Mount Zion Prep. Mm-hmm. And then I just stood there and watched him. And just the most remarkable, remarkable high school player I have ever seen. I watched him for a whole day. Maybe four games, and just
who's a complete unknown.
A complete unknown.
It just would never happen today.
You know, I would walk over to Sonny. All right, Sonny, who's next? Who's coming out of this? And so that was McGrady. That's the first time I saw him. He was just jumping out of the gym, heads and heels better than anyone else that summer. And then
he dunked on some dude who was the number one recruit at the time.
That was maybe, I'm thinking, who was the guy?
I thought that was Lenny.
No,
it wasn't Lenny.
Who was going to Kansas. He got hurt his freshman year. He was the guy. Damn, what was his name?
Yeah,
a big guy, like 6'10". Sonny loved him, adored him. He was going, went to Kansas, never turned out, got injured a lot. Big center, he was great.
Yeah.
I'll think of his name. Anyway.
James Felton.
That's it, yeah.
No, it wasn't James Felton. It was a big guy. I'll think of it.
James Felton. It was James Felton.
No, it's not James Felton. I swear. All right, pause this thing. I'll go look it up. I'll find out. I'll let you know, and you'll put it on the next podcast.
Anyways.
And then the other great moment was O.J. Mayo. I guess he had before his senior year. They rarely have ninth graders. I can't remember any ninth graders, maybe Steph, might have been there. Maybe it didn't even exist. But anyway, they invited Lance.
Lance, yeah.
Lance was there. So, you know, they had about three games at once running on these short full courts. And Lance against O.J. Mayo. And they were checking each other. And O.J. was just going at him so hard. And Lance would not back down. And as a ninth grader, held his own. Maybe O.J. might have had like 38 points and Lance might have had 28. And at that point, that was the Lance Stevenson moment. Mm-hmm. I was like, this kid is just for real. Head-to-head, as ready and as good a player as O.J. Mayo, who was the best player in the country at that time. So that was remarkable.
Yeah.
I think I remember, like, there's video of that.
Well, there's,
I feel like I've seen it maybe in, like, the Born Ready TV web series he did.
That was crazy. The whole
– I forgot about that.
Every
used to check that website daily,
oh,
bro.
Man. Every person in the gym – there's, like, three games going on. Every single person was standing around the perimeter of that game. It was remarkable.
Yeah.
Well, that just reminded me of – in the Lenny Cook documentary, there's that scene where – Someone on the side's like, "Yo, who's that kid? He's like killing everyone." And they like look it up in the program. They're like, "Oh, his name is LeBron James."
Yeah.
It's just like those ABCD camps used to be like,
oh, unbelievable.
Where you discover the next big kid.
You know, and they had just everybody. Oh, I remember. You know what's his name? Joakim was there. He has a scrawny. Maybe he was a 10th grader. He was at Poly Prep, I think, at the time. So somehow some of the high caliber, high profile, you know, 10th graders would get invited. But I think Lance might be the only 9th grader, maybe Bassey too, you know, riding in on Steph's coattails.
Why did that camp end? I was always curious.
I think when Sonny left Adidas.
Okay.
It was Sonny owned that franchise, ABCD.
Yeah.
I think he did it for Converse back in the day and maybe even for a minute with Nike.
I think Converse had like – Eastern Invitational.
Yeah.
I think that was
one
they did.
That was down in Trenton. But Sonny owned it. Once he left Adidas, they closed it down. But that was the best camp. Best camp.
Need to bring that back.
Yeah. Because it had everybody. It's not like, you know, the LeBron camp or Steph Curry with Under Armour where they invite eight.
You know,
the top 50 guys. This is 200. This is 200. Go. And they just play. Just so many, the names are endless. But at that era, I guess 95 to maybe 2000, just everybody played.
So you said, you know, Kareem was the best high school player you ever saw. Who was a kid that maybe you saw that is like either was a superstar in the NBA or is a superstar now that you were like, that you just didn't see it in high school?
That he turned out.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
That is a good, wow, let me think on that one.
It's got to be a big guy. It's like the 7-footers that linger around.
Yeah,
he'll never put it together.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a terrible example, but I remember when Roy Hibbert showed up at Georgetown, he couldn't even do a push-up.
Yeah, he could barely
literally
walk.
Barely.
He was
in high school,
huge,
I mean,
but so overweight, man.
Yeah, I mean, he played in the area, like in the same high school area as me, and I remember he was awful in high school. Mm. He was just like a big tree. He was getting bodied by dudes half his size. He was a terrible high school player. And then there he is. And then,
All-star.
Yeah.
An all-star team.
Yeah.
I'll never get
You know
over
who
that.
Comes to mind? This is crazy. Kobe.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw Kobe at the camp, everybody.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Now, everybody was buzzing about him. He didn't dominate that camp. I mean, he could sit here and look me in the eye and he'll tell me he dominated. I was there. I mean, he was good, silky smooth. He was kind of a little bit small. At that time, he was, you know, skinny, cocky as could be, but never did I see him at that stage become what he became.
Yeah.
So, you know, I miss, you know, it's easier to see these star guys that don't end up good than it is the other way.
Right.
You know, you're good. You know, you saw LeBron. The minute you saw him, you knew Melo. You knew, you know, so many high school guys, you know, obviously Kareem, just remarkable players. You know, they're ready now, which, you know, brings me back to Hoop Hall, is another kid. I forgot to bring it up, this kid on Westtown.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's talking about Bamba and Ayton, but they have a junior. He's now a point guard, Cameron Reddish,
mm-hmm.
who I from what I saw, granted it's not in person, it was on TV, I think may be the best player in the country right now. He's unbelievable. So they moved him to point guard to teach him to become a point guard, 6'6", 6'7", completely ready to play right now, college. People think I'm insane, which they often do, but he right now is a junior, and probably Bagley, and there's a bunch of juniors.
Yeah.
They could start for any college team in the country right now today. That's how good the kids are.
Yeah.
So Cameron Reddish, remember you heard it here first. Done. But again, I'm wrong as often as I'm right.
You've been paying attention to college ball at all? I know you're like,
it's a weak year, man. I think everybody's really sucky. Yeah. No, I really do.
And there's your analysis.
Yeah, no, I really do. I think Villanova is tight. They're really, really good. I can't speak to their bench. I haven't seen them. They have a good shot to repeat, but Carolina doesn't do it for me. Kansas does not. I think Baylor is – I don't even know where they
come from. What about UCLA?
UCLA I love. I love Lonzo Ball.
What about your boy Malik?
Malik who?
Oh, wait, no, not Malik Monk. What's my –
Oh, yeah, Kentucky.
Is that who I'm thinking of? No, who am I thinking of? Am I thinking of Malik Monk?
Yeah,
Malik.
I don't know. Are you?
Yeah, Malik
He's
Monk.
He's nasty.
Yeah, and De'Aaron Fox. Yes,
Malik
yes,
Monk
yes.
Is nasty.
Kentucky's good. They got a shot. I love Malik Monk.
I was thinking Malik Newman as well.
That's Malik Newman. Where did he
He's going to be at Kansas next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that Mississippi State? Right? Yeah. Nah. Another great high school player.
But. Yeah. We'll see. He's still got time.
Yeah, no. Kentucky, Villanova, UCLA. That's my three teams.
What's good with Duke, man?
Nah.
Nah, they just – it's weird, right?
No.
Vibes down there.
Yeah, nah.
Well.
Something's up.
Something in the water.
Stinks.
Yeah, nah, it's really smelly down there. No, Grayson Allen, no.
Yo, Grayson Allen was supposed to be like a first-round pick
last year. Yeah.
Plummeting. What's the real story? What do you hear? Like, is he just a nut job? Or?
He certainly comes across as one,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. The thing is, knows? I was – and we can, pull the tapes, Pete, but like, right. I was very pro Grayson Allen, even in the face of everyone not liking him a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And he's just beating me down now to the point that I can't be a fan anymore.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, mentally, he must be, a basket case. I feel kind of bad for the dude. I feel bad for the Knicks.
Don't.
But every time I say
I tell you every this
time,
every day.
Exactly. Every time I say that, you correct me. So you're right. I'm over them. But, no, I don't feel bad for Duke. I don't like Duke. I never liked Duke. So fuck it. I don't care about them.
You got anything else?
Nah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we could. We probably need to have you back to launch into some larger
Slam
magazine history.
Things, but this is a good primer. We just want to make sure. We want to see how off the rails you would go.
You would
just
try me. I'm behave. I'm behave.
Yeah, just a little trial run.
I'm
this
behaving.
Was good.
But no. We have a guest. I won't name who we want to bring on about high school basketball because, like, Woj will probably steal the idea or something. So, no, we have a guy we want to bring on who I consider the most – the expert, not the OG, the number two OG in high school basketball. So hopefully we can get him on, and then I'd like to really chop it up with him and talk about high school basketball.
Who's number one? Garf?
Well, Garf.
Yeah.
RIP, right?
Yeah.
RIP, yeah. Another one. Got a lot of RIPs. Maybe we'll do a podcast on RIPs.
I'd rather not.
We'll skip that one. Bad idea, along with my other bad ideas. But Cameron Reddish, you heard it here first.
Yeah, and DeAndre Ayton goes to Hillcrest.
Hillcrest, thank you. Yeah. Wait, I still got to remember that Kansas. Wait, look it up right now.
It was James Felton, man.
It's not James Felton.
There's two full feature stories about the dunk.
No, it's,
and it was in Slam as well back in the day.
No, he might be, but there was another guy. I'm not saying that T-Mac, but there's a dude that went to Kansas. He was the number one player.
J.R. Giddens?
No, in the camp.
Yo,
at camp. I'll go look at that.
Big J.R. Giddens fan.
Yeah, no. I'll look it up.
All right.
Oh, wait. Earl. Earl. Earl was his last name. Robert Earl? Wait. Earl. Look it up.
I'll look it up after
this.
Okay,
well, look it up. I got to go, man.
I know. So do I.
So shout out to all our advertisers. Without them, we wouldn't even be here.
Spalding, we're on the block.
Spalding on the block. Nike, Adidas, Under Armour. Who else we got in the room here? And we got some big covers coming up, right?
Yeah, big facts.
Okay.
Big fact.
No more injuries, please.
Yes.
But okay. DP, thank you, man. We'll do it again
soon. Hey, anytime.